Tuesday right here on B&E. It will be the Monday for a lot of you. Hope you enjoyed the MLK Day holiday, if you did so. We were certainly here talking football, but I know there's a lot going on out there and being safe, but celebrating MLK's holiday, taking the day. But you're back at it today. It's going to be a four-day work week for a lot of you, which is a good thing. We've got a lot of football to talk. Obviously, wild card round in the books. Cowboys season over, divisional round on tap, a lot of great games coming, and the offseason begins for six more teams in the National Football League. We already have eight coaching vacancies in the NFL. Could there be more with chatter out of the desert that Cliff Kingsbury could have some issues after what we saw last night in the final half of the NFL season? Some in Dallas wondering if Mike McCarthy is the answer there, but Stephen Jones at least answered that question yesterday, which we'll get into. And a lot to do on this Tuesday. Isaiah Collier is back.
Yeah, and Zay, we didn't get a chance to ask you much about the basketball, the Iowa State game. You know, before you left and had your nuptials your second time around, which does not mean it's a different wife. It's the same wife. It's the same wife
Woman.
At Lost Pines, right?
Yes.
Then it was this summer on June 27th, because I do remember that date.
Do you?
3 days before my birthday, yes.
Appreciate that.
And your first preacher made sure that I remembered that date also.
Yeah, he was making it known that he was the first one to marry us. Like, he came over and said, hey.
Don't forget that.
Don't forget that.
But that is your first legal. That is the legal date.
Yes.
On your wedding. That's on your license, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you were married Justice of the Peace, not JOP style, back on June 27th.
This was a gathering of family and friends.
Yes, it was.
Well, this was wonderful.
This was the wedding you were supposed to have a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
But COVID got in the way, but you still wanted to go ahead and make it official, which you did last summer.
Which you gave out. You gave out. Actually, we're giving out grades to the people that you knew.
And grades I received, for all of the
and
radio.
What did I receive?
A C.
I was a little better than an average student in high school, so I'm
C's get degrees.
C's get degrees.
C, is that you mean really?
Why Hogan is stunting with that A minus?
I got an A minus.
Yeah.
Wow.
See,
life
we
was
stayed.
The whole
we
works.
Stuck and stayed.
Yeah, he didn't dance, but also the foot. So yeah, A minus.
What about
A-.
my boy Trey Elling? I was going to bring my own salad, but did not.
He did the gritty in the Soul Train line. He came and ate, so he doesn't owe me no money. A minus.
No, that's not an A minus. How can that guy get an A minus? Dude, you can't show up after the ceremony at the church. That's called the reverse Irish goodbye.
The Irish hello.
When you come there at 6 o'clock after all the, when we're in the chapel there, we're looking at everybody from different, you know, the different families. I'm looking over and seeing Jessie, some of her family, and looking over at Kevin and his lovely wife and everything. And then this dude rolls in. When the dinner's being, you know, when the dinner line comes up, he comes in with drink in hand, and then he goes to dinner. You don't get an A anything for that. That's C minus.
He's 2 hours late.
Hours late for the wedding.
But he did stay and dance the night away. So and you
well, hell, he got there late.
You skipped before food, which is they say that cost him money.
Money. Trey ate. You know how big that is? That's like having a quarterback.
Yeah, okay. Well, you check out the envelope. You're going to be all right.
All right, there we go. They can move up there. If I check out that envelope, see what's
inside. Check out a B minus.
You might move up to a B.
I did that mafia style. You know what I'm saying?
Mafia style.
Or soprano style with the envelope.
The envelope.
Got the chance to meet your mom. That was very nice.
It was a good time.
But I did journey on to where the exit was, and I had to get the tactical how to get out of there. And the lady said, no, you can take this exit. The alarm won't go off. She said, many of people go this way. They said, if you go back to the right, everybody's going to see you.
Yeah, I noticed that all the doors were unlocked around the whole venue.
Sweet. That's the way you're supposed to do that.
Yeah.
That's a smooth getaway. Not like and my man Rod Baber and his beautiful wife, they ordered a drink.
See?
And went out the back, but they put it on the table. A C for him too.
Oh yeah, they didn't eat for two.
Yeah, I know.
That's two that didn't eat.
Oh, but, that's right. Yeah, you RSVP to eat and you don't eat.
Come on now.
I think
you
that
still
dude,
pay for that food.
Yeah,
and I think that dude may have walked out with glass in hand. He and his wife, so it made it look like they were just going to step out.
A little stroll.
I think he put the glass in his hand, so it made it look like he was just coming back.
I will rat out Rod B. He did tell me when we first said.
Oh, I know. He told me. He goes, "I'm going to beat you out of here." That's what he said to me.
Well, he said, well, my goal is to get home for the fourth quarter of the Cowboys game. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's going to be pretty early because the game's already on, and we're here at the cocktail hour.
But, nestled right next to me, he and his wife, and he said, oh, I will get out of here before you do. I'm like, there is no chance you're out of here before. He did. Jay, he took a glass. He took one of the glasses, I think, and walked out. He and his wife got a pair of nice glasses right now. So they put drinks in and walked out like they were going for a, you know, one of those little stroll.
Yeah, glasses too, Zach.
yeah, we did.
They were going for a stroll, and then they were out the door. But you can't give Trey Allen, you can't give a guy who comes to your wedding 2 hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes late. I don't care if he did the Soul Train line, did the gritty.
Yo, you know how stiff that gritty was?
Was it
for
bad?
Him, it was not good, but the fact that he did it, had the cojones to go up there.
Gosh.
Eight. I'm telling you, eating was big for me. It might be different for my wife, but for your boy, oh, that's huge.
By the way, you look fantastic, and so did your lovely bride. You guys look, that was wonderful. That was a very nice event at a really nice place, not far from where I used to live.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate everybody coming.
And you know what was really nice is none of you riffraff, speaking of the riffraff that listened to this show, got in there. None of you hobos. You could have.
They were home watching the Cowboys game.
You may have slinked in there. We didn't even know.
Hey, let's for our headlines, let's pay off the B&E fact of the day. We talk about riffraff and the blowouts this past weekend, four of them, including last night, which we'll recap here in a minute. Steelers lose by 21, Patriots by 30, Cardinals by 23 in wild card weekend. Last time an NFL postseason saw three margins of 20 or more points in the first weekend. Could you hazard a guess, Buck? Impossible. Last time we saw that, this many one-sided games, there were four of them. Because, I mean, if you add the Eagles-Buccaneers...
Recent, are we recent?
No, not recent at all.
78.
More recent than that, but not much. Listen, if you add the Eagles, because the Eagles ended up putting a couple of meaningless touchdowns on the board after 31-0 to make it 31-15. But there were really four blowouts. We've never seen that in the first round. The last time we saw 320 or more was... The strike year, Buck, 1982. Remember, that was the year they shut down the season for half the year and then came back. That year, there were three major blowouts. The Washington Redskins, they still called them the Redskins back then, they beat Detroit 31-7. They went on to win the Super Bowl that year. Also in 82, Green Bay beat up St. Louis 41-16 at Lambeau Field. And the New York Jets, quarterbacked by Richard Todd, beat the Cincinnati Bengals 44-17. That was the last time we had this many one-sided first-round games. But let's get to the latest. Let's get to those headlines, trending topics, including the Rams overwhelming the Cardinals last night to wrap up the weekend. UBO Business Services brings it to you. And, yeah, Super Wild Card Weekend, not so super. Two good games, including the Cowboys, Niners, and Raiders-Bengals went to the end. But then... four games that were completely one-sided, including last night's game. Rams overwhelmed the Cardinals in all phases en route to a 34-11 victory. Matt Stafford threw for 202 through the air, pair of touchdowns, ran for another on the ground, a quarterback sneak. He earns his first career playoff win. Very forgettable playoff debut, meanwhile, for Kyler Murray. Cardinals down 21-0 before they were able to post their first down in this game, eventually down 28-0. Rams will now head to Tampa to face Tom Brady and the Buccaneers on Sunday. Cardinals are trying to figure out what happened to their season. They started 7-0 and then 10-2, but Cliff Kingsbury's team finished losing five of their last six down the stretch, including last night. The lone win of their last 6 weeks, by the way, came against the Cowboys. Yesterday, Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones squashed speculation about head coach Mike McCarthy's job status, appearing on the Fan Radio up in Dallas a day after the Cowboys' season ended with that sloppy wild card loss to the 49ers. Was asked whether he is confident McCarthy would be back as the team's head coach. Jones responded, absolutely very confident. McCarthy 18-16 in two seasons with the Cowboys. Not just 9-11, though, in games played outside of the mediocre NFC East. Dallas Cowboys coordinator is going to be busy interviewing now that the season is over. Five teams have requested an interview with defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. That includes Denver, where he was yesterday, Chicago, Minnesota, among others. Four have requested interviews with offense coordinator Kellen Moore. We'll follow that developing story. Out in Las Vegas, Mike Mayock has been fired as the general manager of the Raiders after three tumultuous seasons there. College football, congratulations to Texas freshman receiver Xavier Worthy. Yesterday named a freshman All-American by the Football Writers Association of America. Following his breakout rookie campaign with the Longhorns, Worthy led all Texas pass catchers in catches, yards, and receptions, and touchdowns, I should say, in his first year. College basketball tonight, Irwin Center, Chris Beard's Longhorns in action, hosting Kansas State at the FEC. Wildcats are off to a 1-4 start in Big 12 play, but their lone win came just this past Saturday when they upset red-hot Texas Tech. Longhorns, of course, coming off that loss at Iowa State this past Saturday. All right, so there's wild card weekend wrapped.
Let me tell you, there's Xavier Worthy and the running back. Those are two guys I don't need to see in the spring.
Yeah, well, you like reps.
Yeah.
Don't you need reps?
I know. I need my real live freshman reps, the ones that aren't going to, the ones that need to be my backups. Those two dudes, the reps I need to see them doing is going up and down the field, touching lines, going to the other way, touch a line, come back, touch a line, somebody throw a ball down there at them. I don't need to see them in any scrimmages. I don't need to see what they can do in any live contact drills. Do you think you need to see the running back in any live contact drills?
Bijan?
No.
I would be very careful. Bubble wrap for those two guys.
That's
sure.
Right.
But, you do have, Jaden Blue is online, the freshman running back.
Well,
early
he can get in there. Oh, yeah, well, get in there and get going.
He's one of the 12 early enrollees that
He's got to see what college football and the hitting is like.
He does, and winter workouts do begin, I think, today, as a matter of fact, because the 12 early enrollees are here.
Yeah, they can do winter workouts. They can jump on boxes and do all those drills and all that stuff to stay in shape, but when the spring comes and they're out there and they put on shoulder pads and all that stuff, no thank you. You're all bubble wrapped.
Well, that's true. I mean, you don't want an injury, obviously, because you have holes to fill, but you also have some guys you feel really good about coming off of a rough season.
And those two guys, you can't have not be ready to go. You just can't.
There's no question. I mean, and you need to find a quarterback though at the same time. I mean, Quinn Ewers is here. The five-star freshman, he's an early enrollee. Malik Murphy,
and as I said, you can take them out with helmets and whatever it is, and Quinn Ewers can throw to the wide receiver and the running back because they've got to be both a part of the run, part of the passing game. I know that part, and I know you got to see them in a little bit, but I don't need to see them versus somebody.
So just be ultra careful is what you're saying.
Ultra careful with those two guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to practice at the same time, but you have to continue to evolve this playbook. But you're right. I mean, those are two critical factors. Did the Longhorns add a factor over the break? The 3-day weekend, because if you missed it yesterday, you're out for MLK. The Longhorns did miss out on the Alabama transfer edge rusher linebacker Drew Sanders. He had committed to Arkansas, and Mario Williams, the speedy receiver from Oklahoma, committed to USC. That Mario Williams recruitment seemed like a long shot, but they, give Texas credit. They got in it. They got him on campus for a visit. They made their pitch, but in the end, it was kind of a foregone conclusion. He was going to USC. But the Longhorns did get the commitment from now former Alabama tight end Jaleel Billingsley. He will be transferring to Texas. There's also word that the Longhorns are actively pursuing a linebacker transfer from Alabama, which we'll keep our eyes on. But Billingsley, Buck, essentially, when you look at it, he replaces Jared Wiley.
Yes.
Jared Wiley transferred out. He was I think for some fans, kind of an underachieving player at tight end. He's going to go and play at TCU.
And Billingsley's been the same at Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're trading one for the other. Talk to folks at Alabama, Billingsley. The question is Billingsley a tight end or is he kind of a hybrid receiver?
He's a hybrid.
He's only 230 pounds.
Yeah.
But he's 6'4".
But you can send him in motion at the end of the line to stop somebody. But you can't put him in a three-point stance and expect him to get on defensive ends.
Yeah, but he is a more willing blocker than Wiley was. Wiley was never much into the blocking
Zay's a more willing blocker than Wiley was when you watched him.
He was.
Yeah.
But so essentially you've traded one for the other. You have Xavier Worthy.
And I think Billingsley even is more athletic.
Sure. I think so.
Because he has caught passes
in big
games. Not as big.
I mean, Wiley's a big 6'7 guy and had more weight to him. This is 6'4", 230. But, he's in the mold of that, hybrid tight end. We saw Kyle Pitts playing for Florida. I'm not saying he's Kyle Pitts by any stretch. I'm saying that kind of player that just can stress a defense with athleticism. He was a four-star kid out of Chicago.
He may be one of those kids that needs some confidence, catching some balls.
Needs to be coached up and challenged. And I think this whole offense needs coached up and challenged. You feel good about the quarterback room with the competition you're going to get with the additions of Quinn Ewers and Malik Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the return of Hudson Card. And then, Xavier Worthy, Jordan Whittington. I do think they still have to be scouring for a wide receiver. There are some suggesting they like their tight end room with the youngster Jatavion Sanders, the five-star kid out of Denton Ryan, who, the coaches, including Steve Sarkisian, talked good about, but they just said he wasn't ready yet physically wise to play. But if he has a great offseason, he could become a factor at tight end.
And the good thing with Billingsley, he's been in big games. He's played in all kinds of games.
If you feel good about Jatavion Sanders, Gunnar Helm was another tight end that's on the come, Juan Davis. you know, could Billingsley become more of a wide receiver than a tight end? Like, you got Xavier Worthy, but you're looking at maybe you put him as an outside receiver, try to win some one-on-ones, create one-on-ones with a guy like Billingsley who's athletic enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that a role? But the offense needs weapons, so I don't think there's any doubt, and this is a weapon. You know, I think there's also another full offseason, is there an opportunity to get more out of Keelan Robinson, the other running back, right? You've got Roschon Johnson, Bijan Robinson, and Keelan Robinson, another Alabama transfer. He's still here. You know, that's a guy that you got to work to develop. You got to find weapons for Quinn Ewers or Hudson Card to throw the football to and hand the football to, and you got to continue to develop this offensive line under Kyle Flood on that side of the ball. But they've added pieces, and now they hit the winter workouts, and they still got to try to finish off some pieces on the defensive side of the ball too.
Because for sure,
they added Ryan Watts at corner through the portal. They had a great recruiting class on the defensive side of the ball, they believe, and a lot of those guys are early. They've got two or three defensive linemen. The safety, Brian Allen, is on campus already as an early enrollee. The couple of the corners, Terrence Brooks and Ryan Watts, they need to have a good stretch here. And we still haven't heard the official word, Buck, on Gary Patterson. We were told and reported by a lot of people that could come as early as Friday of last week. Hasn't happened, so we'll keep an eye on this Gary Patterson story. Still reports he's still showing up to the facility every day, so acting like he's, you know, been hired, and maybe they'll just let that roll through. But the name to watch there is O'Shawn Mathis, the TCU defensive end transfer from Manor. That is a commitment the Longhorns would be seeking here ahead of winter workouts, because you got to make these calls. If you're going to be a part of the winter workouts and enroll at school and all those things, that has to happen in pretty short order. So we'll follow that development. That leads us into our coach's corner, Buck. It is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. It's avconsultations.com. Tom McKay and his great crew. Can we hear from Chris Beard? Hey, Chris Beard wants you to come out to the basketball game tonight. It's Texas and Kansas State. And here, how about this? They're bribing folks. Free Whataburger tonight.
Wait a minute.
I think all students that show up, first 750 students that show up tonight, get like a free. Let's let Chris Beard explain what's going on with the free food for the students who show up for the Texas K-State game tonight.
Also tomorrow, we continue to build the student section. So appreciative of over 600 students coming to the last game, and classes aren't in session. So we look for tomorrow to be hopefully our largest student turnout since the opener. With that in mind, we've asked our friends at Whataburger to help us, and they've stepped up like they have time and time before. And we've got the, what is it, Mark?
Hub Chub.
Yeah, what exactly is that, Mark?
Honey butter chicken biscuit.
First 750 students get the honey butter chicken biscuit from our friends at Whataburger, the home of spicy ketchup and late night dine-in hours. So we appreciate Whataburger on that, as well as all of our other sponsors, and encourage the students to get to the game early and get your free
Hub Chub.
Hub Chub.
That's marketing for today.
That's marketing for today.
Hub Chub.
I love that.
I've never heard that called that. Have you ever heard that, Zay?
No, I ain't eating anything called Chub.
Hub Chub, the honey butter chicken biscuit. I've heard it's good.
That's for dinner? That's a dinner deal?
It's a breakfast. Well, it's an anytime deal, right?
No, you can only get it from 11 to 11.
11 in the morning?
11 morning to 11 night. Midnight to 11 in the morning.
So yeah. It's all day long.
No, it's not all day long.
11 at night to 11 in the morning. You get the Hub Chub. Honey butter. So you got honey butter on a biscuit with some chicken. Chicken biscuit.
Yeah, because he took the team. What did they do? Didn't they go for breakfast? They went
for
breakfast on a bun.
McGriddles.
Oh, he went to Zay, were you here for the McGriddle? Dude went to McGriddle.
Yeah, I'm with that.
You're with that? That's okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's talking about dipping it in the syrup, too. Yeah, Coach Beard, he does it right.
McGriddle. Pancakes, what else is in there? Is there bacon in that?
McGriddle? It depends on what kind of McGriddle you want.
Well, you can get a sausage McGriddle, bacon McGriddle, you get egg, cheese.
Do I get that hash
meat,
brown?
Then you get another protein, and then you know it's
on extra hash brown?
No, it doesn't come on a hash brown. It comes on pancakes, like little pancakes. The McGriddle. A little syrup in there. Come on, man. Get with the time.
Yeah, they don't give you enough syrup in there. You better dip that thing.
Really?
And yeah, get a little dry.
Let's, in our coach's corner with Chris Beard, let's hear from Coach Beard. He was asked yesterday ahead of this K-State game, coming off the loss to Iowa State, do they need a more consistent guy that can get you a bucket in big spots that can knock down a shot? Here was Chris Beard on I'll go to consistent scorer when it matters most.
Yeah, you got to have several of those guys. Brian, you're going to try to win a championship, be a Final Four contender. you have to have several options. So certainly it starts with Marcus, point guard. Obviously, Courtney Ramey being an experienced guard in that backcourt. Got to start seeing the forwards like that. You know, like last game and the turnovers, you know, 9 turnovers from our front line is just not, that's where the problem lied. And so you got to be able to envision coming down and playing through Dylan or Trey or CB in a big moment. Obviously, Timmy Allen's done it in his career. We have a lot of confidence in Timmy. Jones is one of the all-time, you know, great scorers. So it has to come in different fashions. But I understand the question. I mean, you want 5 aggressive guys out there. You know, you want guys being aggressive in your role.
Yeah, that's as we talked yesterday, the storyline of the Iowa State game was 20 turnovers led to, you know, Iowa State with a bunch of easy baskets. And as he said, you know, Marcus Carr had 4 of those turnovers at point guard, but the front line had 9. They had Trey Mitchell had 4 turnovers. The guys up front, they did a good job of swiping. What did you see in that Iowa State game, Zay, that was troubling as far as the carelessness with the basketball that led to easy buckets for the Cyclones? Can't do that on the road.
No, you can. It's how the turnovers came, like 10-second violations, just dumb stuff. Timmy Allen picking up 2 fouls, you know, within the first 20 seconds.
You ever seen that before, by the way?
I feel like I have, but it's been a long time.
That was a factor of the game most people won't talk about. But Timmy Allen, who's the Longhorns' most consistent player and their best interior player,
right?
The same official called him for 2 off-the-ball fouls in the first 17 seconds of the basketball game.
Yeah, and we talk about the officiating with the Big 12 and OU and Texas, and I was feeling that on those 2 plays right there.
Well,
for
immediately
sure.
before the first minute of the game, your best player is on the bench with 2 fouls, and it wasn't even involved in the play. It was off the ball. I'm not, you know, I didn't, were they fouls or not? But 2 in 17 seconds, that puts you behind the 8 ball a little bit. The Longhorns got off to like a 5-0 lead in the game, but their best player is sitting because you can't get a 3rd foul that early.
And Zay, who becomes the head of the snake when it's not Marcus, when it's not Carr and those guys? The kid from Kentucky struggles a little bit.
Yeah, he struggled. But one thing that's interesting about this Texas team and this coaching staff and their philosophy and whatnot, let's go back to football with Tom Herman. One of the most frustrating things with Tom Herman is how we put the best players in and out and did all the rotations and all that. So frustrating. Look, I love Tristan Lacone. I love Benson. They mean well. I get what Chris Beard's trying to do by igniting the Spartan, showing that anybody
that was
can
a little,
play.
That was a teeny Spartan.
Let's stop doing that.
But they didn't score any. They didn't really score.
No. Let's stop doing that. The whole point of this team and all these transfers coming in is the chemistry and the camaraderie of playing together. So if they're not playing together on the same court because they make a couple mistakes. Yes, they were mistakes, but you got to keep playing them. We don't have time to do all this teaching lesson stuff, and I know what Chris Beard's trying to do. I know exactly what he's trying to do. Stop it. You can't play those guys.
So you
just can't.
You're not looking for a minute spark.
I'm not trying to look for that motivational stuff. No, play through it. Make adjustments within the team. The coaching staff, y'all got to make adjustments. If Marcus Carr's getting double teamed coming off pick and rolls, then you got to bring guys up in position to get the ball out of his hands and attack that.
And they're going to have another score. Somebody's going to have to score in this when they get to the real conference play, which is about to happen to them.
Yeah, it's about to get real. They better win these 2 games this week. These are must wins. Kansas State tonight and then Oklahoma State on Saturday, must wins.
Yeah, you've already lost at Stillwater. You did beat K-State in Manhattan earlier this year when they were shorthanded. It's pretty quick to be getting your Kansas State season series out of the way. But yeah, the Cowboys and the Wildcats, that'll be over as of Saturday. But we'll preview more of that game here, more from Chris Beard, talk with you about it. We've also got Wild Card Weekend in the rear view. And the Cowboys season is over again in
Dallas.
So you're
telling me you can't go Kai Money?
No. And look, you can't go Kai Money. We love Kai Money. It was a cool bit, fun joke and all. Nah, hell no. No.
Well, maybe a message sent. I'm not sure. We will continue that conversation. Hot or not for the end of the hour, B&E on this Tuesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
About the collapse in the desert, Arizona Cardinals from 7-0, 10-2 to an embarrassing loss last night on Monday Night Football to wrap up Wild Card Weekend. Pretty ugly. I was reading the Arizona Republic this morning. They are all over Cliff Kingsbury, and rightfully so, for another late season collapse. That has been his norm, whether he was the head coach at Texas Tech or now in the NFL December and the end of the year has not been kind to Cliff Kingsbury as a head football coach. It was the month of November in college, and now December, now into January as a head coach. And it's, and does this speak more to the Cowboys too, that the only win the Cardinals mustered in their last 6 weeks, Buck, was against the Cowboys, and it was a pretty physically dominant performance over the Cowboys. They only won by two, but they pushed the Cowboys around in that game. They've been dreadful outside of that win in Arlington. Everything else has been bad, and last night was just, I mean, they were completely overwhelmed by the Rams.
Well, you know, it's, to me with the Cowboys, it's a continuation with penalties. It's hard to coach out dumb, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, undisciplined.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It gets that gets old, continuing play after play, practice after practice, and then you see it in the games. It's hard to coach that dumbness out, and that's, I mean, when you continue to do the same thing over and over and over with those penalties, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, a lot of issues, and they're asking those questions in Arizona of Cliff Kingsbury. You know, his 3 years there collapses at the end of each year. Year one was forgivable because it was a new roster. Year two,
but that group's not near as talented as the Cowboys, right?
I don't think so. I think they had high. I mean, when you're 7-0, 10-2, and you know things are cooking along. You know, they had a 2-game lead in the division.
They're going to come back to look at Kyler Murray. Is Kyler Murray?
Well, that's a fair question. Would you rather have Kyler Murray or Dak? I mean, that, you know, but at the same time, if you can get to 10-2 at your bye week, how do you collapse? I mean, what happened? That's a very fair question for Cliff and his team. I mean, in this final stretch, they lost to the Rams. They lost to Detroit, a game in Detroit that you can't. I mean, how do you lose to the Lions in Detroit? They lost to Indianapolis when they got pushed around at home on Christmas Day. They lost to Seattle, which cost them.
They needed a win, and they couldn't get it.
I mean, exactly. But the win against Dallas felt like it righted the ship a little bit for Arizona, but then they turned around and lost to Seattle in a game that had they won that game, they would have, you know, won the division. It would have put them, you know, as the division champion, not the Rams, because the Rams had lost to the 49ers that day. But either way, and then last night, I mean, that's when you watch a game where a team, they didn't have a first down before it was 21-0. They went their first four possessions, they had -4 yards. But it wasn't just how bad the offense and the offensive line and Kyler Murray were. I mean, I know people will say, well, DeAndre Hopkins being out hurt. It did. But one player can't be that impactful.
No, he wasn't going to get you 14 points.
He does take pressure off. You know, A.J. Green's not what he was. Christian Kirk has not emerged as a go-to wide receiver. That's a fair statement for Kyler, but without DeAndre Hopkins. But still, you know, Cliff, Kyler looked rattled. They looked overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And, but gosh, by the time they didn't cross midfield till middle of the third quarter.
Dude, that backhand, whatever that was for the interception was.
Oh, the hand grenade throw.
Oh, come on now.
For the pick six. By the way, on record now, the shortest pick six in playoff history. It was a 1-yard interception return for a touchdown as Kyler just threw it up.
Yeah, see, they're going to start questioning is he going to make it as a quarterback in the NFL?
Well, I thought that was a question coming in. He was number one pick and looked like at times an MVP kind of player, can't miss player, but he certainly has limitations. And Cliff Kingsbury was hired to get the most out of him. And so, you know, there's people asking fair questions in the desert about what is the direction here. And, you know, but again, it was wholesale last night. Their defense did not play well against the Rams. Their special teams kept having mistakes that would put them backed up, giving bad field position. That was kind of like we talked about with Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys. That was not a well-coached team last night.
Well, you know, we got on the Specs text line, we got something about the Cowboys, and if they don't do what the Kansas City Chiefs did, and the Kansas City Chiefs did it in a really quick amount of time, they got rid of their whole offensive line just about. Everybody gone.
Well, they rebuilt it. We all saw the Super Bowl last year when they lost to Tampa 31-9 and they couldn't block anybody.
Right.
Now, they did have the injuries too, right? They had Eric Fisher got hurt. Both their tackles got injured in the playoffs, and so they played that Super Bowl, you know, with backups against a very good
But they went to team. Fixing all of that in a hurry.
They did.
They didn't sit around for 3 years and say, you know, we have Patrick Mahomes. How long are we going to have him for? We got to make sure that at our peak, we need to be the best we can be, especially on the offensive line.
And
if you're going to pay Dak Prescott that kind of money, you better make sure that offensive line is ready to go and you can run the ball and do some things.
They did rebuild it on the fly. And
get an all-pro center that's, what, a rookie?
I don't know if he's all-pro.
Second year.
I think he made the Pro Bowl. No, Creed Humphrey was the pick out of Oklahoma who has really solidified the middle. No, I mean, they completely rebuilt it. They traded for Orlando Brown. They signed the big free agent fish from New England, John Thuney, to play guard. They picked up Trey Smith, another guard, and then they drafted Creed Humphrey. I mean, four brand new offensive linemen, and it's an all new line. And that, you know, some in Kansas City who follow the team closely will tell you that that was part of their early struggles, in addition to the Patrick Mahomes turnovers when they were kind of scuffling through September and into October, that new offensive line was kind of gelling together. They were all thrown together. They were trying to, remember we talked way back in the preseason that they were playing their starters a lot, Kansas City, trying to get some continuity among all those new linemen. But you know, if you watch them against the Steelers and you watch them late in the season, that's why they're cooking now.
Yeah, maybe I'm really jumping on Kyler too early. That was his first playoff game.
It was. But that offensive line in Kansas City, as you said, has really come together.
Yes.
It's now a strength of their team, and that's scary because some are saying this is the best version of the Chiefs that they've had entering the playoffs because they can run the ball. They can attack the middle of the field. They will take what you give them, and it's not all about the big play. And that's a scary group. But you're right about the Cowboys. They have to address the interior of their offensive line. They've got to figure out the future at tackles because Tyron Smith is up there in years and his durability is a question. And Lael Collins, quite honestly, didn't play well this year for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I think the point you made is exactly right. The Cowboys have to figure out what the offensive line looks like, but what are their salary cap challenges going to be this offseason now that you've paid Dak?
As you said, they're all on the offensive side.
Well, and now you're about to lose your defensive coordinator potentially. I think when your defense coordinator has been invited for five interviews, I think it's fair to suggest that he's probably not going to be back. And what can Jerry Jones, I mean, yesterday, if you missed it because you were out for MLK Day, I'd rather keep Dan Quinn and let Mike McCarthy go.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, hey, let's let Dan Quinn, I mean, what are your better options? If you lose Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn and you're left with Mike McCarthy.
Wow. That's not good for the future right there.
I don't think so. We had Ari Temkin with us last week, and he made a nice suggestion. If you lose Dan Quinn, go hire Vic Fangio, the fired Denver coach. But I wouldn't mind that. Vic Fangio has been a tremendous defensive coordinator in the National Football League, whether he was in San Francisco with Jim Harbaugh, then to Chicago.
The guy would run to come to Dallas.
Yeah, I think so. So maybe there's a soft landing for that. But Dan Quinn did a lot to rebuild that defense. He was hired to stop the bleeding on the defensive side of the ball from the historically terrible Cowboys defense from the year previous. Not only did he do that, he made it the strength of the team. I mean, think about the game on Sunday. 23 points, and they had, you know, seven early. They went right down the field and scored, but then the defense kept them in that football game and gave them a chance to come back. And, you know, this was a team that's supposed to be built on offense and let the defense come along. Defense carried that team in the end, and 17 points, not nearly enough for the offensive side. Same can be said for Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. That's supposed to be an offensive-heavy team that couldn't move the ball. I think the Arizona and the Dallas case are very similar with the direction of where they're headed in the NFC because they just don't seem to match up and stack up with the heavyweights that they've got to beat in that conference. Obviously, Tampa Bay, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, Rams now.
I like when teams are reaching the crescendo at the end of the season, whether they've had injuries or not. When they get to playoffs, they look like what they looked like in the beginning of the season. You know, they look fresh, mentally fresh. They're not making a lot of mistakes because in the playoffs, you can't make those mistakes and get away with it. Just can't.
Well, that speaks to what we saw this weekend. The Bills looked as crisp as we've ever seen a team in the playoffs with their almost perfect offensive performance.
And as good as Derek Carr the year he had, when it came down to playoff football, that guy was sitting in the scoring zone and couldn't move his team.
No, could not. Well, he couldn't get touchdowns. He settled for too many field goals. And the mark of a great quarterback is not settling for. Why is Tom Brady the GOAT? He converts third downs and he puts the ball in the end zone. And that's been a mark of his for a long, long time. And they looked crisp on Sunday.
They looked
really sharp moving the ball. They built a 14-0 lead and really cruised over the Eagles. Buffalo, I mean, you know, some will call Josh Allen's performance the best cold weather performance of all time. And he's one of the best playoff quarterback performances we've ever seen when you throw more touchdowns than incompletions in 0-degree temperatures. I mean, he was 21 of 25. They never punted, 7 for 7 on touchdowns, and they took a knee on their eighth. And that was the ball game. That's impressive. And of course, we saw the Chiefs get off to a bit of a slow start, but then erupt on the Pittsburgh Steelers. To what you just said, there are some teams that are peaking. They're hitting their crescendo right now,
right.
And we saw them this weekend, and maybe the 49ers because
I don't know. Remember that was they weren't outstanding throughout the whole year. But for me, most of their deals were about the injuries that they had. They've been doing this for 3 years, that, you know, getting close to the playoffs, but injury-wise, they just don't have enough players, the 49ers.
Well, they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Yeah, but now they once they get healthy, they are really good. Because I think they're well coached in every phase. And when you can make your wide receiver a running back, when you can figure out that guy's as good a running back as he is a receiver, that's pretty smart coaching to me.
Yeah, and that's part of what the Cowboys' narrative is, that in that game, their $18 million running back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what they do. They pay. They just pay.
Well, the Cowboys' $18 million running back was the third best running back on the field.
Wow.
Maybe the fourth, because Elijah Mitchell, the rookie, was better. Debo Samuel was better as a running back. And Tony Pollard, who didn't get many touches, probably a better running back right now than Zeke Elliott.
Are Cowboys fans going to say that there will be teams knocking the door down to get to Zeke Elliott?
No, who would say that? That's going to be the worst contract of the offseason.
They're
stuck. It's an $18 million cap hit, and no one wants that contract. He's a shell of what he was at this point. We'll be back. We will take those thoughts. The NFL Wild Card Weekend is in the rearview now. Now looking forward to what should be a tremendous divisional playoff weekend. We've also got Hot or Not coming. Zay Collier is back from his wedding. He will lead us through some topics we've missed halfway through the show. It's B&E on a Tuesday.
Hey, what's up, folks? This is your lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. Even though the fantasy football season's over, you can keep the excitement alive with MyBookie's double deposit bonus. Having your initial deposit match up to $1,000 is like playing every game with home field advantage. All you have to do is sign up, use the promo code HORN, and get your funds credited to your account instantly so you can start placing your bets with MyBookie. With the NFL postseason in full swing, there's no shortage of games to choose from at MyBookie, and everyone knows that the playoffs equal points. It's the best time of the year to hammer the overs. With every player out to make a name for themselves, you know player props are a great way to find an edge. MyBookie is also home to exclusive contests that can be used to maximize your winnings and make 2022 your best year yet. Don't miss out. Double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000 simply by using the promo code HORN right now at MyBookie. Place your bets and get ready for the intensity of the playoff season. You can bet anything, you can bet anytime, and you can bet anywhere. As long as you're betting with MyBookie, you're betting with the best.
This is Scott with Apple Leasing. You know how much houses have gone up and how short in supply they are? Well, guess what? Cars have too. Leasing a vehicle from Apple Leasing now is smarter than ever. Your trade's worth more than it ever will be. So take advantage of it. Apple wants your trade, whether you're leasing it, buying it, or own it. What really causes leasing to make sense right now is that you only have to pay for the portion of the vehicle you're using, not the whole cost. And after the market switches back, your trade value is guaranteed. Here's another great point. Have you looked for cars lately? The dealers are extremely low in inventory, and the prices they've got are very aggressive. At Apple Leasing, we have a huge network of dealers, and we don't mind going anywhere to get the vehicle you want at the price you want. Remember, one phone call to Apple Leasing at 512-346-9977 or click appleleasing.com and let us do the work for you. We can customize the right terms and mileage to make the Apple Simple Interest Lease work for you. We make it simple. Call us.
Hey, it's Aaron Hogan for AMM Collision. And if there is a collision and damage to your car, here's what I know. It happens quickly and it happens out of the blue. Driving along, everything's good, and then bang, you've got to get your car fixed. When you have to make that decision, where are you going to take it? And that's an easy one. It's AMM Collision every time, the local guys. And for AMM, it all started with a lifelong commitment to quality, to excellence, fast customer service, to being the collision and body shop that does the job right. And that's exactly what's happened with AMM Collision. Started with one location 30 years ago on the Austin Motor Mile. That's where they garner their name, AMM. But man, have they grown. As word of mouth and reputation spread, AMM's reputation has spread, and that's no accident. They've grown with Austin and the convenience of so many locations throughout Central Texas, so there's one in your neighborhood. And the bottom line is AMM does a better job than anyone else. With the fastest cycle times in the industry, the highest quality work, they put a lifetime warranty on everything that they do. And find the location nearest you at ammcollision.com.
AMM Collision. Our reputation is no accident.
As the official partner of the Dallas Cowboys, you know Specs will be cheering on our boys in blue for the playoffs. Specs makes it easy to bring home the win with lower prices on a stadium-sized selection of lower-priced wines, spirits, seltzers, and gourmet snacks. So crack open a brew and raise it up high for the silver and blue, because Specs is the place where the Cowboys shine through. at Specs. The fun starts here.
This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Waste Connections is hiring right now for drivers, diesel mechanics, and customer service representatives. Apply online at wasteconnections.com. Waste Connections is an affirmative action equal opportunity employer.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs, a Texas-sized selection of wines, spirits, finer foods, and specialty beers. Cheers to savings. What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not, certainly hot on the divisional weekend now that the wild card games are over. Riff Raff has been eliminated, and Vegas has noticed. The biggest Vegas line for the upcoming games this weekend, 5. Packers over Niners. Everything else is a field goal. With the Tennessee-Cincinnati game.
Well, I'll let your people know who to take, all right? Because I'm on fire.
You're as hot as they get. 14-1 in your last 15 picks. We'll get your official Gold Star Lock picks on Friday.
I won't be here, remember?
Well, you're going to have to get in tomorrow then.
Yes.
You're going to Pennsylvania. To hang out with Hoofy and the guy.
Fly, Eagles, fly. I'm going to go in there giving the old fly, Eagles, fly.
Well, they're going to be sticking it to the Cowboys when you get back up there.
Yeah, that's
sure.
True. That's why I forgot about that part.
Yeah, I was looking at this, not to be gloom and doom, but the season is over. Cowboys could be losing both coordinators to head coaching jobs. And as we said, the top 10 salary cap figures on the Cowboys roster for next season total almost $172 million already.
Can you get the basics like for Randy Gregory to stay on? Can that dude just stay on side? Just wait for the snap. The ball to be snapped.
Well, their biggest challenge coming up into February and March is the salary cap because the projected cap for next year is $208 million. They're already at $217 million, which means you're over. And, you know, Zeke Elliott's, I read this, that to talk about Zeke and the contract it's going to be. Zeke Elliott's total cap hit the next 2 years is higher than Tom Brady's. Cap hit. Higher than Tom Brady's. It's also higher this year than both Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. So that's where the Cowboys sit. It's going to be restructures and trying to finagle the cap. But it's not going to leave you a lot of room to try to add pieces or re-sign key pieces that you need on your defensive side of the ball. That's going to be the challenge for Dallas. Plus, you know, the coaching attrition you could see for sure. Isaiah Collier is back from his beautiful wedding and his day off, and glad to have him. And he leads us through some other topics we've missed halfway through this show. Zay, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, E. Appreciate it. Sent you the video for Hot or Not, so check that out on your Twitter because the Eagles are taking more L's after their loss or during their loss at Tampa Bay this weekend. Eagles fan fight in the stands. Where Eagles fan was going down, somehow got into an altercation with a Bucks fan, threw a punch, and then dipped. As he was leaving, like trying to get away, another Eagles fan was walking up as he was walking down. The Bucks fans were so hyped up on adrenaline, they got the other Eagles fan that had nothing to do with it. He was trying to
gear.
Just wearing Eagles gear coming up the stairs.
Come on, Eagle guy.
He was on his self-defense stuff. Then he ended up getting jumped. The dude that started the fight left. You never see him again. You see him at the beginning of the video, throws the punch as he takes off running down the stairs. Eagles fan walks up, and then he takes the beating.
Tampa fan with Mike Evans' jersey on.
He threw some throws.
So I saw a guy get thrown down the steps.
Yeah, so that.
Wow.
So Zay is right, though. The guy that actually initially started the ruckus.
Gone.
You got to see him in this video. I'll have to retweet this that Zay sent me. He slipped out of there quick. Number 20? No, number 91. Number 91 in the flexure. Now watch him get, whoop, see ya.
Gone.
And then number 20 jersey.
He throws a guy down the steps.
He gets
four guys.
He gets pounded. Fly Eagles, fly.
Fly Eagle, fly out of there. Fly out of that stadium.
We gotta get some drones going. How many fights are in stands in NFL games on a week-by-week basis? Like every Monday or Tuesday we come in here and there's just brawls.
By the way, Zay, thank you for the tsunami video.
What tsunami video?
Did you send me a tsunami? Somebody sent me a tsunami video.
It wasn't me.
Wasn't you?
No.
Who else sending me these things?
Wasn't me.
Wow.
You were thanking Zay yesterday when he wasn't here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought that was you for sure.
No, but that's a pretty funny video. That guy, that dude did like the slipstream. He started it and
he got out of that place, didn't he?
He hightailed it down the. I mean, they're right in the middle of the aisle.
And that guy, the other dude, number 20, took the brunt of that ass whooping right there.
Number 20 did throw a guy down the steps.
He did.
Like he did nothing, but he didn't start it for sure. He kind of got caught up in it. Couldn't happen to a nicer group of fans.
Why are you wearing those jerseys?
They're all wearing jerseys. It's unbelievable. Every fan has got a jersey. Buccaneers, Eagles, Fletcher Cox. I don't even know who number 20 is on the Eagles.
Yo, I think it's a throwback Brian Dawkins jersey.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's what it was, number 20. You're right.
I love Brian Dawkins. He's a good player. Good player back in the day. Okay, thank you, Zay. Hot or not, congratulations again. Great to have you back. We'll continue to talk Cowboys and where they go, coaches they may lose, and what is Mike McCarthy's future. Stephen Jones weighed in yesterday. Also, they're clamoring in the desert about Cliff Kingsbury after last night's Cardinals performance. How about the Rams? They looked like a Super Bowl contender, no doubt. We'll get into all of it. Plus, Longhorns and Wildcats tonight at the Irwin Center. And the Longhorns football team, what the next steps into winter workouts. We'll get into it on a Tuesday on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming always on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.